Well, thank you for being here for church today for week two of our sermon series, Thankful. As we're diving in, of course, you've heard it a couple times already, but last week, Pastor Josh talked about how we're so thankful for what God is doing, right? Not just locally in our church, but globally across the world as we see the gospel go forward and as we do our best to help send it forward. We're so thankful for that. And then today is about this. It's going to be a special service, a unique service, but it's about what God is doing inside each and every one of us. So we have communion today, and we're so looking forward to it. And it's not the prepackaged communion, okay? It's the traditional elements. There's going to be a very special flow and ebb to our service, and I'll make sure to give everyone clear instruction as we go through it. I'm looking forward to it so much. I recently had a busy season during the summer. Have you ever been there before? And you say, no, I've never had a busy season. It's just my life. My life is busy. You know what I'm talking about? I had a busy season during the summer, and we had just taken our student ministry to summer camp down in San Bernardino. We took about 70 students. We took our volunteer student ministry team and our student ministry director, Jake, who's doing such a great job on Sunday nights, 6 p.m. They're here tonight. Of course, I went with them to just help and support in any way that I could. And we had a great week at summer camp, really, really great time at summer camp. And then we came back, and the month of June was even more busy because every year we do a fundraiser for summer camp through our fireworks booth. Have you ever driven around the city and during the week of 4th of July, there's all these fireworks booths, and as you drive by them, you think, those poor suckers. Yeah, it's me. I'm in there, right? And we're in there, and we're trying to raise money for our students. It's about $500 for every student who goes to summer camp, and so you do the math. They go for a week of teaching and preaching and hearing the word of God, and of course, if a family has more than one student, you do the math. It's an expensive venture, right? And they did that. We're in the middle of June, and then on top of that, about 8 months earlier, I'd had a church, actually a group of churches in southern Indiana, Ohio, and Tennessee region call me and say, hey, we're getting ready to do our summer camp. Will you come out and be our camp pastor? Will you come out and preach to our students for this week and preach and teach for us? And so like you, when your plate is already too busy, I said yes, right? And I'm like, sure, yeah, absolutely, I'll come out. And so here it was, the middle of it, and man, I got home late that Sunday night, and everything was going on. I got up too early Monday morning. My father-in-law had come through to pick me up and drop me off at the airport, and I was just running on empty. I was just tired. I don't know if you've ever been there before, right? I was physically tired. I was emotionally tired. He drops me off at the airport. My bag feels extra heavy. I'm like, what did I pack in here? And go through security, and I'm like, man, I really hope the plane isn't full. Of course, the plane is really full. And so I put my headphones on, and I'm like, I'm just going to try and zone out and hopefully be able to make it there. And by the time we land, not only am I tired, but now I'm also tired and hungry. You know what I'm talking about? Probably a little dehydrated. Like when I travel, I tend to get a little dehydrated. So I'm like, oh, so I land and make it to the Nashville airport, and I'm going down the escalator, and I make the right, and I go to the rental car counter. And I get to the rental car counter, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to just like turn my frown upside down. Like, I'm just going to try. And I get to the rental car counter, and I'm like, hey, how are you doing today? And the person doesn't even look up. They're like, fine. And I'm like, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, what do you say? And I try to be encouraging, and it's just not there, and they're not having it. And they're like, here's your papers. And they hand me an envelope, and I go on my merry way. And so I go out, and I go out to the rental car garage, and I walk through the doors, and I take a right. And as I'm headed to pick up my rental car, I'm about 50 feet away from the rental car little station where the attendant is to get me my actual rental car. And I'm reeling my bag, and the bag on my back feels heavy, and I'm going there, and I'm about 50 feet away. And as I'm 50 feet away, all of a sudden, this mid to late 50s African-American gentleman steps out, and he goes, hello, sir, you're about to have an incredible day. I almost did, I almost fell off. You're about to have an incredible day. And I look, and I kind of look around me, and I'm like, what? And I look towards him, and he's like, tell me where you're coming from today. And I said, I just flew in from Las Vegas. He goes, Las Vegas in the house. And I'm like, Yes, sir. He holds me out a cold bottle of water. He goes, here you go. You're probably parched. Suddenly my mouth feels like cotton. I'm like, I am parched. I take the water and he's like, listen to me. My name is Eugene and I'm about to take care of your rental car. Do you see that row right down there? And I'm like, I do see that row right down there. He's like, you can take any car from that row right down there on me. Pick out anyone you want. And I'm going to a summer camp in Southern Indiana, and so I look down the row, and there's this bright cherry red Jeep Gladiator. And I'm like, can I have the Jeep? And he's like, sir, do you want the Jeep? And I'm like, I do. I really do. I want the Jeep. And he's like, then you can have the Jeep. He pulls some keys off the hook and he says, come with me, sir. He takes my bag, which is feeling really heavy at the time. He hoists on his back. He's walking down. He's like, let me open it. Throws my bag in the back. He says, let me show you how this works. He sits down in the Jeep Gladiator and he says, sir, what business are you on? What brings you to Nashville? And I'm not feeling very pastoral. Like I'm having this moment, but I'm like, well, I'm a pastor from Las Vegas. I'm actually going to preach at a student camp up in Indiana. And he goes, sir, you are doing the good Lord's work. You're going to have an incredible day. I'm going to be a blessing to you. And I'm like, yes, please. And so he sits down in and he's showing me, he's like, this is how it all works. This is how you adjust your seat. This is how you turn it on. You see these latches right here? And he unhooks three latches and he pushes the soft top off the Jeep. And he says, this is how you take the top off. And you're gonna wanna take the top off. And I'm like, yes, I do. And he takes it all off and he's like, this is how this works. He stands out and he says, here's your vehicle, sir, holds the door for me. I step into the vehicle. He closes the door and he says, sir, I have a question for you. Have you ever had a rental car experience like this? And I said, no, I have not had a rental car experience like this. And he says, sir, my name is Eugene. And I just want you to remember the power of one person, that one person can make a difference in your life. You are a blessing. You're getting ready to go to a summer camp and teach students. You're going to be a blessing to them. God's going to use you in a mighty way. Be blessed as you go about your journey. And he leaves and I back out and I drive away. Yes, his real name, I had someone after the first service say, was his name really Eugene? That's what he told me, but I don't know. There's this verse in the Bible that says you entertain angels unaware. Maybe his name was Gabriel. I have no idea, but I do know this. I think when I get to heaven one day, there's gonna be all the angels and there's gonna be this guy named Eugene. I'm gonna be like, I thought so, right? And so I drove away and I'm telling you, I'm just wiping away tears. Like I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you that before I go preach the gospel to someone else, you reminded me through Eugene that I need to remember the gospel for myself first. I'm driving away and I'm like, God, you're so good. The hair's blowing in my wind from the Jeep, right? My hair's blowing in, whatever it is. I'm driving away. And I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that even if we've been in the gospel for a while, or watch this, even if we haven't been in the gospel for a while, that if you've been in church every week, or watch this, this is your first time back in years, listen to me, Jesus loves you and the gospel is for you. And we're gonna take some time to explore that through the venue of communion today. And this is where we're at in scripture, Luke 22. Luke 22, the disciples at this moment are getting ready to enter the busiest holiday season in the Jewish calendar. The holiday for the Jews is called the Passover. And they're really worried about the preparations for it. And so they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, how are we supposed to prepare and where are we supposed to prepare? Jesus had an itinerant ministry and he moved from city to city. And so they said, where are we supposed to prepare all of these elements? And Jesus says, go to this house. There's a room already prepared. And when we get there, we're gonna do something special. This is where we pick up the story. Luke 22, verse 14. The Bible says, and when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. This morning, if you're like me and like the disciples, maybe you've been trying to carry all the preparations of life yourself. Maybe this morning you've been carrying the weight of your family or of a wayward family member, and you just feel that burden. It's your first thought in the morning, it's your last thought at night. Perhaps this morning you feel like you've been carrying the trajectory of your career every day, and every day is a sprint to the finish line, and you just hope you make it, and you hope you pass the test, and you hope you get it in. Maybe you feel like you've been showing up for everyone else, but no one has been showing up for you. Maybe this morning you just feel empty and you're not sure why. Maybe this morning you feel shame and regret about something you've done and somewhere that you're sure that you failed. And rather than prepare one more thing in your heart or in your life this morning, all you need to do is pull up to the table that Jesus has already prepared for you. This morning is not a do more speech about the Bible. This morning is a Christ has already done for you and done for me and invited you into a covenant relationship. And so I want to invite you to ponder this question as we get ready to take the elements, the first elements this morning. This is where I'll walk you through it. Our worship team is coming, and we've asked our deacons who serve our church so well to also come. They can come at this time as the worship team comes out. And they're going to serve you right where you're at, the elements of the Lord's table. We'll be patient with them. We have a song that our worship team is going to sing as we take these elements. The first element that we're going to pass is the bread. As we pass the broken bread, just take a piece and pass it down to your neighbor. If you haven't been in a service like this before, it's okay. We're thankful that you're here. And I want you to think about this question as you pick up the bread. What have you been carrying? And what have you been trying to prepare that this morning Jesus is asking you to set down? As our elements are served by the deacons, let's reflect on this question as our worship team leads us in a song.
Throw up my head. nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Luke 22:19 says he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." This sermon series is called Thankful. And each element, we're going to stop and we're going to reflect on exactly what that element means to us and how and why we can be thankful for it. The first element is the bread or the broken matzah. Our first reminder is that we give thanks to God for his sacrifice. When we think about what this broken bread means and what the matzah means, you have to put yourself in the context of that upper room where Jesus was gathered with his disciples. As he passed out the Passover bread and they received that unleavened bread, these were practical and tactile lessons that every Jewish boy knew. Jesus hands out the bread, which has been bruised by the oven, and they're reminded of the words of Isaiah where he says that one day a Savior will come who will be bruised. One day that Savior will be pierced. And as you look at the bread, there are small holes that allow the bread to cook evenly. And this reminder is what Jesus was giving the disciples as he hands it to them. Specifically in Passover, they were reminded of the affliction of Egypt. For Jews who had been in slavery in Egypt, Egypt was a picture of everything that had gone wrong. Every time they tried to run away from God, every time that they had not held up their end of the bargain. And so Jesus hands it to them and says, "Remember what I have delivered you from." It was also a picture of the freedom that is in God's way. And yes, though the Exodus story is full of difficulty and trials as they leave the land of Egypt, it's a reminder to the disciples that though your way may be hard, if you are traveling the way of Jesus, it is the best way to travel and to follow him. And then lastly, unleavened bread is also a picture of humility. It was considered the poor man's bread, and it's a reminder that when we step into the presence of God and of deity, we have no right to say what we've done. It's a reminder that we are humble before God and that we receive his gift not because we deserve it or because we've earned it, but because he has chosen to bestow it upon us. And so as those disciples watched Jesus break the bread and they saw that the pieces were being handed out, I imagine the words of Isaiah, which we'll read right now, rang in their head. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says this, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." I've been attending communion services for as long as I can remember. I remember specifically when my wife and I were first married and we moved to Houston, Texas and began our ministry there, that the elements were being served in the same fashion that they were this morning. And as the plate with the broken matzah was passed, most of the pieces were small, but there was a rather large piece protruding from underneath all the other pieces. And the inner child inside of me saw the large piece, and I thought, that's the piece I want. But I was new to the pastorate, and I thought, I can't be that guy. And so I left it and passed the plate on down, and it went past my wife and down to the family sitting on the other end, which was our other assistant pastor. And his six-year-old son was first. His name was Clayton. And Clayton got that plate, and he looked into the contents, and he saw the large piece of bread, and he pulled it out from under and held it up to the light so all could see. And his dad was sitting on the end shaking his head like, don't do it. But the plate had already passed, and Clayton had selected his piece. I think about the humor of that story, but there's a deep truth in here, and it's this morning. Regardless of the size of the piece of bread in your hand, watch this. You can have as much of Jesus as you want this morning. There is no restriction. His body has been broken once for all, and he is bruised for your transgressions and mine. And it doesn't matter how many times we return, there is mercy still to share. Billy Graham said this, the wonderful news is that our Lord is a God of mercy, and he responds to repentance. A.W. Tozer said it this way, there is more mercy in him than there is sin in me. No matter how often I return to him, his mercies are new every morning. And so this morning, why not make it personal? Yes, Jesus' body was broken, but he says in this passage that his body was broken for you. So often we focus on the gospel that other people need to hear, but friend, this morning, what are you holding that you need to let go of so you can receive the body of Jesus? Is it shame? Is it guilt? Is it pain? Is it hurt? Is it good things like responsibility and care for others that Jesus says, I will care for them? Simply set that down and fellowship with me. Remember that my body was broken for you. Jesus said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Church, let us partake this morning. Dear Jesus, as we have been reminded of truth from your word, that your body was broken for us, thank you for the gift that you freely offer to us called salvation. Thank you for the fact that you took our place on the cross. And as we continue to discover and dive into this truth through the next element, the cup, we rejoice already for what you've done for us and what you are doing in us in this moment, as shackles fall off and as sin is laid down and as shame is laid beside it in its rightful place in the grave, and as we step into our calling to be sons and daughters of yours who walk in victory. We love you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. This morning, as you've reflected on the body, I'd like to ask our deacons to come back up and serve the second element, which is the cup. Our worship team is coming again, and we'll have a time of prayer and reflection. And here's the question I'd like you to ask yourself as they pass out these, our next element. Every time it's referred to in Scripture, it's called the cup of the new covenant. I want you to ask yourself this question. What is the new covenant, and what is it that God is committing to in this new covenant to do for us and through us as the worship team leads us and the elements are received?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy
This is the cup of the new covenant. Again, to his disciples, they understood what Jesus was saying when he said there will be a new, not contract, not something that they had to do and he had to do, but a new covenant that he was creating between God and between man. They had a history and an understanding that God had worked with man through covenants, all the way back to their beginning story where Noah was told by God to prepare an ark, and God created the what we know as the Noahic covenant. And God saw the world and how wicked it was, and God said, "This wickedness must be punished." And yet, even in his punishment, God created a ark, a vehicle through which grace would be passed on to the children of Noah. And so we see the Noahic covenant. And at the end of the Noahic covenant, there's a specific agreement that God makes with mankind where he says, "I will no longer destroy this world through a flood. As a matter of fact, I rest my bow in the clouds." We'll come back to that in a moment. Then we see they would understand in their history that after the Noahic covenant was the Abrahamic covenant. most Jews and Israelites looked at Abraham as their father because God had made Abraham a promise when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he said that I will bless your seed and I will multiply it and they will be like the sand beside the seaside and I will make your family grow. And then he adds this addendum, much like the rainbow, there's a thread that connects. He says, and through your family, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so he points to something forthcoming, and then we see the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt, and they're brought under the bondage of Egypt, and God delivers them through the Exodus story, and God yet again at Mount Sinai makes another covenant called the Mosaic Covenant, or the Old Covenant. And the Mosaic Covenant was a covenant that God made with his people to say, here are my laws. And if you can keep my laws and walk in my laws, then I will be your God and you will be my people. And he says, if you wanna be blessed, live life the way I'm telling you to live. And the rest of the Old Testament is the Old Covenant. It's a story of how God's people walk away from him because they're allured by the world, much like you and I have been. And then they come back to him after a season of hardship and God lovingly restores them and then they walk away again. It's the way of the old covenant or the covenant of the law. And yet, in the giving of the covenant, God knew that no one could ever fulfill the covenant. Here's the word, no one would ever be innocent under the law. For if you offend in one point of the law, it's as if you've offended in all. And so God is foreshadowing that a different covenant will be established. The fourth covenant we see in the Old Testament is the Davidic covenant. God has a king after his own heart named David, and God comes down and with David, he makes a covenant and says, someone from your seed, someone from your lineage will forever rule upon your throne. And it doesn't make sense in earthly terms until you begin to get to this point when you realize that when Jesus poured this cup with his disciples, he said, this is the new covenant because all of the old covenants have been fulfilled in me. Jesus, as we look back at the Noahic covenant, where God says, I will no longer destroy the earth through a flood, and he rests his bow in the clouds. The Hebrew word bow is the word kesheth, which means a warrior's bow. And God said, I have judged you. I have drawn my bow against you. And now I turn my bow around. And when we look at it from earth, we see the arc of the bow no longer points God's judgment toward us, but the arc of the bow points to the heavens. For God is saying, I have judged you once, and now I will judge my own son. And so Jesus fulfills the Noahic covenant and holds out the new covenant to his disciples and says, this is the new covenant. Jesus is of the lineage of Abraham. He fulfills the Abrahamic covenant. And now he's bringing salvation, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. And through Jesus, all the families of the earth will be blessed. He fulfills the Davidic covenant because he will sit forever on the throne of righteousness for all eternity to come. But yet the best of all is that Jesus fulfills the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, because walk with me as Jesus holds this out to his people and to his disciples and says, this is the new covenant. You need to think through when he declares that. He finishes supper. He goes out to the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. There he is betrayed and beaten. He's arrested. Peter now denies Jesus. And Jesus stands before the council and is beaten again, flogged and whipped within an inch of his life, like Isaiah prophesied. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now he stands before Pilate. And the story of the crucifixion goes on that as he stands before Pilate, Pilate says, I will release one unto you. Who do you want? Jesus, King of the Jews, or Barabbas? And the people say, Barabbas, crucify Jesus. Crucify him. Why? Because then he goes to the crucifixion, and as he hangs on the cross between two thieves in the place that you and I deserve to hang, Jesus hangs there. Darkness falls upon the face of the land for 3 hours, and then Jesus shouts, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And with these words, he breathes his last. And a Roman soldier standing by watching on says, surely this man was innocent. Why? Because he is the eyewitness in the courts of eternity, that the only innocent man who ever lived and came under the old covenant, that the law had to be fulfilled, had now fulfilled the law, and on him he is now hung on the cross, and Jesus stands as the fulfillment of the new covenant and holds out the cup of the covenant, the cup of his blood to you and to me, and says, I did what you couldn't do, and now I want you to enter into fellowship with me. And the curtain of the temple tears in two from top to bottom, because where the priests used to stand and they offered multiple sacrifices throughout time, Jesus offers the one perfect sacrifice, and the blood is placed on the mercy seat. The curtain is torn because now we have access to the presence of God. You say, I read the Old Testament and it doesn't make sense. That's because it's the old covenant. You say, but I read the New Testament and there's this guy named Jesus and he's love and he's grace and he's mercy. Yes, because he fulfilled all the covenants. He took the punishment of God upon him. And in doing so, when Jesus died on the cross, he entered into a temple not made with hands and placed his blood on the mercy seat. He fulfills all the covenant. He says to his disciples and to you today, this is the new cup of the covenant. Will you receive it today? And in Jesus' name, our church says, yes, we receive the covenant of Jesus that he fulfilled and that only he could. And we now stand in awe, where the Old Testament and all of history looked at Jesus, hoping he would come. We stand in the middle of our grace story, and if you're like me, you're burdened with pain and shame, and you were never meant to carry that because Jesus paid for it already. And so he now holds out to you and to me the perfect robe of righteousness, the robe of a son and the robe of a daughter. And he says, don't carry the shame and the pain and the hurt of this world anymore. Step into your rightful calling as my son and as my daughter. This is what we remember when we come to communion. When we pull up a chair at the table of communion, this is the new covenant and it is called the gospel. And watch what Jesus is promising to me and to you, found in Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. I wish I could highlight it and underscore it and bold it in all of your Bible apps and in all of your Bibles that you brought today. I wish I could, because watch what he commits to you for. He says, this is the covenant, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He seals you with his Holy Spirit, and he says, you may try to run and you may try to be burdened by this world, but I'm telling you, the cup of my covenant, the new covenant, has been sealed and you are forever mine. And we stand in this, in our brokenness and our sin and our shame, and we say, yes, Jesus, please remove the rags of sin and shame, and we accept you as our Savior. What a powerful reminder that before we bring the gospel to anyone else, we should preach the gospel to ourselves each and every day, so that the accuser of the brethren, the enemy, does not have a foothold in our life to say, this is who you were, because we see who God calls us to be. And we say, this is who we are. We are partakers of the cup of the new covenant. Jesus said, this cup is the covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Church, let's partake together in remembrance of me. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, thank you for the new covenant that you offer to us, that it's not a contract, that our part has already been done. We've simply done the sinning. And now, Jesus, you invite us into the power of your Holy Spirit. And the freedom that we find is that the addictions and the habits and the shame and the broken relationships come under the microscope of your love, and they begin to melt away as we simply focus on who you are and what you've done for us. I pray that we would drink long and often from the cup of the new covenant, so that we do not forget who you are and who you've called us to be. Jesus, thank you for your church that you've gathered together this morning, for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary, for the forgiveness of sins. I pray that every person would walk out of here this morning afresh and anew, with a clean conscience before you, knowing that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church family, this morning we have commemorated the sacrifice that Jesus made with his body and the covenant that Jesus made with his blood. Jesus is now eternally accessible to you and to me. And my prayer for you and my prayer for me is that we would not leave this table empty, that we would walk away having been filled with his Spirit and realizing that we don't want to live any other way than in the presence of Jesus.